Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This is a continuation from last week. Last week, I was projecting to you the principles of testing. If there's one thing that the church world today does not understand because of the message that it hears, is the principle of testing. We have this picture that when we come into the church, then everything should be roses and lovely. Not feather beds anymore, but a waterbed. But do you know? Have you found out yet? It doesn't work that way. There are tests and trials that we go through. And unless you understand the principle that every kingdom instrument is tested of God all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, every person, everything that was a kingdom instrument was tested. Was Adam tested?
Yes.
Was Eve tested?
Yes.
Was Noah tested?
Yes.
Think so. 100 years to build one boat. Was Abraham tested?
Yes.
Was Jesus tested?
Yes.
Then will you be tested? Look at it in a corporate. Was Israel tested? When they come out of Egypt, went into the wilderness, were they tested?
Yes.
Will the church be tested?
Yes.
Will this church be tested?
Yes. Amen.
So you see, you've got to understand, these things are coming. They're coming to you individually. They're coming to us corporately. And we've got to know they're here. We've got to recognize them, understand them, and get above them. And just as the flood lifted Noah above the problem, you see, your problems and your tests have got to get in you. You've got to realize that they're to lift you above the problems. The very thing that killed the world lifted Noah. Do you hear that? The very problems that are killing the world are going to lift you. Now that's testing. And unless you understand that principle, you'll be just like the world. Long-faced, problems, woe-is-me attitude. I don't want woe-is-me attitude. Isaiah said that, woe-is-me. And the Lord touched his lips with a hot coal. Sent that seraphim, and that seraphim touched his lips. He said, don't talk like that. How is a prophet of God that had the revelation that Isaiah had, we're going to go out and minister to a world with a woe is me attitude? How are you then going to go out to a world and minister to it when woe is me? I want to touch your lips with a hot coal. I want to touch your lips with the word of God so that the things that comes forth from you will lift you first above the problem, but then lift those that you're ministering to above the problem. So I want to present to you testing. Continue it. We looked last week at Ezekiel 34, and I showed you that if pastors, shepherds, do not understand tests and get those things out of their life, they will be recalled. Do you remember that?
Amen.
Look at the world today, at the church realm, at the church world. Many have been recalled. Look at that in the natural. You can compare it and you see the same thing. Do automobile manufacturers test their cars before they go on the market? Are they smarter than God? God's going to test you before you will be able to minister to the capabilities that He wants you to minister to. That's what it's all about. That's what testings are for. To show you the areas of your life you need to touch and correct. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Now, you need to understand this. In Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8, I'll start here today. But you shall receive power. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. And it means miraculous power. The same kind of power that the Lord Jesus had. The kind of power that raises the dead. Anybody in here raised the dead? I don't see any hands. But it says there that you shall receive that kind of power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, the NIV Bible and the Amplified Bible say when. That is incorrect. It is after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. As I'll show you tonight in the tabernacle of Moses, there is a door to the holy place. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can get in there, but you ain't got all the power yet. You'll receive the power in the course from the time you have walked in the door, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and some point beyond. Now let me give you the definition for that word after that. It means to supervene, in effect, arrive, occur, impend, attack, or influence. And it comes from two Greek words, epi and erkonomai, and what it means is a superimposition of time, place, order, etc., as a relation or distribution, in effect, over, upon, of direct, towards, upon, etc. Now, let me tell you what I just said. It starts, and then as you progress towards, after that, and then as you progress towards, you will receive dunamis, power, and ability. It don't just happen when you talk in tongues. That is the initial evidence that the Holy Ghost has filled your life as an infilling you. But it is not the fullness of the Spirit. It is not the fullness of the Spirit, and you got to understand that it's after that experience happens in you. You got to have it. You'll never raise the dead until that happens in your life. You can have the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. You can talk in tongues and prophesy and do all those things, discern spirits and healings and miracles. You can do those things, but you'll never have that power in its fullness until after that. Now, the majority of the Christian world is deceived in believing that it all happens just like that. It's not so. You got to mature. You got to grow. You got to go on in the Lord. And that's what after that's talking about. Let's grow up. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You see, there's two portions here. You need to see that. I haven't got time to spend a whole lot of time on this scripture. The Holy Ghost baptism is not just so you'll be a witness. First of all, it's to give you power. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and the Lafayette and Somerville and Tryon. You see that? So it's after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now then, what I'm shooting at here and trying to get to is, what does after that mean? What is the after that times in our life? Test. Let's go. I want to go to Luke, but on the way back to Luke, let's go by Romans. I want you to see something here. The book of Romans. In chapter 8, I'm fixing to ask you a loaded question. Can I do that? How many of you are led by the Spirit? Nobody wants to answer now, boy. You just told me it was loaded. You think I'm going to raise my hand? Let's get 13 and 14 of Romans chapter 8. Maybe read on down here a little bit. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what I'm talking about are the sons of God. The Greek word weos means to be placed in a position of sonship, maturity. It's not the same word for children. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You see, sons, those who are moving into the area of sonship, are moving into the area of adoption. And you need to understand what adoption and sonship is and the times that this was written. When a son got to the matured age, he was adopted by his father. It was an adoption service. And the father would come out and he'd strut around and he had a boy now to carry on his work and to carry on his name. And the father would strut around. That was an adoption service. And the sons are the older boys, more matured boys, who have moved into this realm of adoption. You see that, don't you? You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, that's a different word. You are born a child. You're a baby when you're first born into the kingdom of God. Is that right? New birth. Born again. You're birthed into the kingdom of God. You're born. And when you're born in the natural, you're not fully matured. Is that right? So when you're born into the kingdom of God, you're a child. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and children, then heirs. We're heirs to this adoption, but we haven't got it all yet. There is some maturing, and there is some aging, and there is some growing up and developing in our life that we have got to do. I want the adoption, because I'm going to show you a little bit later what it is. If so be that we suffer with him. In other words, let's back up and get that verse again. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if you can be a child and stay a child, or you can do the if, suffer with him. And how many Christians today want to suffer? Anybody want to suffer? If you want to be a son, you better understand you're going to have to do some suffering. All right, I'll read it again. I'll stay here till we get it. And if children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. To get glorified, what you got to do?
Suffer.
We want the glory. We want all the promises. But we don't want to suffer. Now I'm going to show you what suffering is. Don't get upset. Nobody's going to tie you and beat your back. Nobody's going to hang you on a cross and stick a spear in your side. But in order to rule with him, you've got to suffer with him. David had an army. David was made king over all of Israel, wasn't he? Who moved into that realm with him? Who was his servants? Those that were in the wilderness with him. Those that were suffering with him. You're not too sure of this one, are you? This don't sound good. I want to go home and listen to Kenneth Copeland. I got nothing against Brother Copeland. I thought he brought one of the most powerful messages to this earth. Message of faith. Message of really finding out who we are. But we've got to realize there's some suffering. All right. Let's go to the book of Luke. Now, what I want to show you is this. Jesus is the firstborn son, isn't he? Are you awake?
Amen.
And we are told by the Bible to pattern ourselves after him. Is that right? If I can show you the pattern that he went by before he received that dunamis power, will you believe it? Well, that's what I'm fixing to do. I want to show you that you have most of all, most of you have gone into these two realms, but there is more. Verse 35 of Luke chapter 1. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Who is he talking to?
Mary.
Mary. Told Mary that she would have a supernatural birth, that the Holy Ghost would overshadow her. And there would be a holy thing conceived in her. And that thing that would come forth would be called the Son of God. How many of you have been born again? Come on, get your hands up. Be proud of it. You're born again. And you, Mary, had that same overshadowing of that same Holy Spirit. And you have experienced a supernatural birth. And there's something holy being conceived in you right now. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that Bible? I've taught that. Christ in you, Mary, the hope of glory. Now that's exactly what happened to you at conversion, at the new birth. Something was birthed in you, supernaturally. You didn't have anything to do with it. No man really helped you with this. The Holy Ghost overshadowed your life. And Mary said, how can this be? I know no man. You don't need a man. You need the Holy Ghost. So you see that. First step, Jesus was supernaturally birthed. Are you supernaturally birthed? Amen. We're following the pattern. Amen. That's what I'm showing you. Chapter 3. I'll show you tonight in his adolescent stage when he was in the temple how he confounded those people. Talk a little bit more about that tonight. But right now I'm just trying to stay on this train of thought. I want to have all that to go. 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. Totally submerged. You need to be whelmed in water. Totally submerged. It's a type of death to the world. Have you ever saw them sprinkle dirt on a dead man? What do? Come on, somebody help me. Y'all too serious today. They bury him. He's under, right? Amen. You need to be water baptized. You that haven't. How many have? Okay. You're following the pattern. Then what happened? Same verse. And praying. I didn't see this until 6 o'clock this morning. And praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came out of heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And praying. Now he was water baptized. Why would he be still praying? The Amplified Bible says, while he was still praying. What was he praying for? Holy Ghost. Did he get it?
Amen. Amen.
And praying. If you haven't got it, I want to be and praying for you. I want you to receive what Jesus received. And praying. He received the Holy Spirit in bodily form. Bodily form. Now, just a little something here. Not going to get into it. The Holy Ghost is a hymn. It ain't a bird. It ain't a dove. It's like a dove in that it's gentle. But it's a bodily form. As a dove. I want to be as gentle as a dove. But I'm in bodily form. So Jesus then received the Holy Spirit. Baptism, Holy Ghost, infilling. However you want to put it. Pentecost. How many of you have experienced that thing? In your life, you see? Following the pattern. Right on down the line. See, 1, 2, 3. Now, verse 1 of chapter 4. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Now, I read to you, and let me remind you, in Romans 8 and 14, it says, these are the sons of God, they that are led by the Spirit of God. Right? They that are led. Now, I want you to see, before I even read it, where the Spirit will lead you. It's not always in this realm, in this supernatural, spiritual realm. We have got a misconception of what spirituality is, and really of what being led of the Spirit is. John the Baptist said that Jesus would come and baptize you not in water, but in Holy Ghost and fire. Fire. He brought two new baptisms. Holy Ghost and fire. And look where the Spirit led him. Verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness. Now that may not mean anything to you, unless you realize what was done there in the wilderness, what happened to him. What happened to him in the wilderness? Tempted and tested, like as we are, yet without sin. But understand that the sons of God are led of the Spirit of God, and where the Spirit of God are leading the sons of God is through the wilderness. And who are you going to meet out there? Then is it God's ordained plan that you have some confrontations with the evil one? And he's looking about, seeking whom he may devour. So the Holy Ghost baptism is not just for you to be able to speak in tongues and to prophesy and do all that stuff. And I do it. But I have a deeper understanding of it. It is to perfect me. Let me suffer a little bit with him so that I can also reign with him. And unless I go through those things, I'll never be glorified. But the Spirit done what now? I want to make sure you got it. What did the Spirit do? Let him where? In the wilderness to be tested. Now let me underline that with one verse of Scripture. Mark chapter 1 verse 12. Just listen. You can turn to it after a while. Mark 1 verse 12 says, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Now that's not our conception of being led of the Spirit, is it? But is it the Bible's conception of being led of the Spirit? Now, verses 2 on down through, let's see, what do I want to touch here? I think down on to about verse 5, verse 4, verses 2 through verse 4, what it's going to do here is present to you the temptation of the lust of the flesh. Now, there aren't but three temptations. There are not but three temptations that the devil can come with you with, come to you with. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2. Do we need to turn to it? Let's turn to it. 1 John, way back in the back of the Bible. You need to know these things. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2. And we'll read verses 15, 16, and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here it is. For all sum total, this is all the world has. Sum total of it. This is it. For all the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How many ways can he test you? Three. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And he seeks to devour you in one of those areas. Chew you up and spit you out if you let him. He seeks whom he may devour. He went through those houses in Egypt. I'm going back now to Luke. Go back to Luke. He went through those houses in Egypt seeking whom he may devour. But they had taken the lamb in the house with them and applied the blood to the doorpost. And they'd knock and ask, can I devour you? And all you've got to say is, no thank you, sir. Blood all over this thing. All over my family. We've got the lamb in here. He's going to seek whom he may devour. Now, you give him place. Paul said, give no place to him. But you give him a place in your life, he will eat you up. I know what I'm talking about. The word devour means to swallow. You'll get down in those gastric acids of the devil. You'll be totally done away with. He's seeking about whom he may swallow. Three ways. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Verse 2 of Luke chapter 4. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, and afterwards he hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The lust of the flesh deals with your carnality cravings, sensual gratifications, out of control lust. That's the lust of the flesh. And if you're an instrument of God, if you've been chosen out of the world, then you are an instrument of God. You will be tested in this realm. You'll be tested in the lust of the flesh. He's going to seek an area in your life where you're weak in the flesh. He did for Jesus. Jesus was hungered. And you will be hurt there and beat there and swallowed there and digested there until you can come up with the right answer every time. Three words. It is written. If you're an anointed person, when I say that, Christ in you, remember? Christ means the anointed. Christ in you, born again. You will be tested here. Was Jesus tested? Was Jesus tested here?
Yes.
Are we following his footsteps?
Yes.
Has he healed anybody yet?
Yes.
Luke 4, he's just got water baptized. He's gone into the wilderness. Has he healed anybody yet?
No.
No. Verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power, now that's another word, that's the Greek word exousia, that's a different kind of power, that's the power that's been given to the devil. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Now you may have never saw that before, but this power that the devil has been given to him. He didn't sneak up behind God's back and take it. He didn't trick God. It was delivered to him, given to him. All this power hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now you can be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. You can get your power from the evil one, the kingdom of darkness. A lot of people have. Or you can get your power from the light and Christ. It's there, isn't it?
Amen.
If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Pride of life is next. This is the lust of the eyes. Took him upon a mountain. Who remembers what I've taught you mountain means? Kingdoms. Places of revelation. Gave him great revelation. A lot of preachers today got a lot of revelation. They're on the mountain. Where are they getting it from? And he says, All these kingdoms I can give you because it's delivered to me to do that. I can do that, says the devil. I just really feel this. Do you see here how important that it is to know your ministry? Ministry can deceive you. He might be getting his power from a wrong place. Book of Acts, chapter 6, says, Look ye out. Don't turn there. I'll just tell you. Look ye out. Seven men, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You need to understand what that word look ye out means. Pay them a visit. Know them. Live with them. Investigate their life. How many churches really do that? And how many churches are really deceived? Know your ministry. I'm going to get on off of this. I'll never get through. The lust of the eyes deals with materialisms. It's the things you see and want and desire. It's the cravings for things. And overcoming this, discipline in this area, will get you to a place where God can trust you with things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. But first, you got to prove that you're not going to fall weakness to the lust of the eyes. Pretty things. How many have been tested in the lust of the flesh? Have any been tested in the lust of the eyes? Have you ever raised a dead person? Has Jesus yet? Has he done it yet? Okay. Verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Third test, pride of life. Pride of life. How many preachers, pastors, evangelists have been on the pinnacle? Really set up there before people and fail. You see, they couldn't take it. There's something about the anointing that the flesh just loves. It loves the attention of people. It loves to have eyes focused on them and people out on the edge of their seat on the hear what that guy's got to say. The flesh loves that. And a lot of men love that. They're on the pinnacle of the temple, high, exalted. Have you ever seen them fall? If you've been around this long, you have. Because they couldn't stand it. And God's going to recall them if that's what they're in here for. And it's coming to every kingdom instrument. Everything God's chosen, He's going to test. If you've been chosen, you will be tested. Am I showing you that? But in three realms. He cannot come at you with some kind of temptation out of the space world someplace. It has to be in those three realms. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He cannot hit you with something out of this world. For there has been no temptation to come upon man, which he is not able to bear. For with every temptation, God himself shall give you the way of escape. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, now, look what it says here. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now, he's departed from me for a season. But you need to be wise enough to know he's coming back. Because you see, he wants to nail you to a cross. He wants to scourge your back. He wants to have a spear pierced in your side. He's coming back. Now, you've defeated him. You've made him look bad. The first Adam failed. The second Adam surpassed in every area. And all the angelic host, all the spiritual host, was witnessing the first Adam and the second Adam. And the devil would say to the second Adam, there has to be a weakness someplace. It's worked with every other one. It'll have to work with him. But it didn't. It didn't. And at that point in time, he took back the power. He took it back from him. He says, I have the keys to death and hell and the grave. How do I know he took it back at that point? Because from this point on, you tell me what had authority over him. Could he raise the sick? Could he open blinded eyes? Could the devil put anything on anybody that Jesus couldn't fix? Could death hold him? Then what had authority over him? Nothing. At this point in time, he retook the kingdom back. Now, after those three tests, look what happens. Verse 14. You see, but to get to verse 14, you got to go through what? Verses 1 through 13. Am I right? It don't take a real smart person to understand that. And Jesus returned in the dunamis. Miraculous power. When? After that. After what? After his wilderness experience. After being in the wilderness for 40 days and tempted, hit with everything, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. After that, you see, came he back in dunamis power, ability to do whatever he heard from the Father. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. See, God can trust him with that now. He can trust him with these areas. He knows he's not going to fall to the lust of the flesh. He knows he's not going to fall to the lust of the eyes. And he knows he's not going to fall to the pride of life. He can glorify him now. Verse 18. Jesus, here reading from Isaiah, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." When? After that. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." When? After that. After that. I want dunamis. I want the miraculous power. I am somewhere from going in that door of Moses' tabernacle and being infilled with the Holy Ghost. Somewhere I am journeying on. I'm getting to after that, because portions of that anointing is coming upon my life. I'm praying for more and more people, and I'm seeing results. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm moving along. I'm progressing. I'm seeing more and more results. But you know what I've learned from this? My wilderness time can either be a wilderness experience or a wilderness wandering. Israel was in the wilderness 40 years. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. You can spend your whole life in the wilderness, going around the same mountain, having the same problems, murmuring about the same things all your life. Or you can spend 40 days, and your time there is determined by the time it takes you to really say and mean, "It is written." Because when I have discovered, when I really say and really mean what is written right here, I come out of my wilderness. And I see more and more and more results in my life. And you can have either one you want. You can have a wilderness wandering or a wilderness experience. I will guarantee you're going to have a wilderness experience. But you don't have to have a wilderness wandering. But I'll guarantee the wilderness experience. Because that's where you will suffer with him, so that you can reign with him. Because that's where the Spirit is going to lead you to be tested and tried, so that you can come forth as gold and as silver and as precious stones. That's the only way, folk. Paul wrote, he said, that he's going to burn out of you all the wood and all the hay and all the stubble, so that what will remain is the gold and the silver and the precious stones. How's he going to do it? By the leading of the Spirit, through your wilderness experience. Understand what I have been teaching, most especially on Wednesday nights. You're going through a furnace of affliction. And if you'll read Isaiah 48, 10 and 11 right there, you'll find out that's where you're really chosen. He says, I chose you out of the furnace of affliction. How many are called? Many. How many are chosen? Few. Because they won't go through the furnace. They won't go through the wilderness, and they won't get the stuff out of their life. They end up spending a whole lifetime in the wilderness, going around the same mountain, murmuring about the same things. Amen. Tonight, what I'll be sharing with you about is going on with the Lord. Majority of us here have experienced the new birth. And probably the majority of us here have experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There is a third dimension. There was the outer court. There was the holy place. But there's also a holy of holies that God is now leading His people into. And He said that the word would go forth in Matthew 13. And He said, the sower sows the seed in the ground. And you're the ground. And I'm the sower in this particular setting. And it's going to fall on different kinds of ground. And it's going to bring forth different fruits. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. How many? How many different kinds? How many different levels? Three. 30, 60, and 100. Some of you are going to go on into that holy place. Some of you are going to go on in further to the Holy of Holies. Some will never get past 30-fold. And I put that in a term that you can understand it. The 30-fold realm, you're 30% gods. 60-fold realm, 60% gods. I want to be 100-fold. But to get there, I've got to go through the wilderness and the furnace of afflictions. I've got to get all the junk burned out of me. As I told the Wednesday night group, all the Ananias and all the Sapphira has got to be struck down by the Holy Ghost in me. Then I can become the ministry that I'm patterning my life after. Stand with me, please. Every head bow. To know I'm on target. I'm not asking anybody to come down today. I just want to know that I'm online. This has been revelation to you. This has made an awareness to you that you haven't quite saw in the Word before this way. And now you understand a little bit greater about the times of testings and trials and temptations and times that something just burns you up in your life. But now you kind of understand what God's trying to do to you and show you and work out in you the will and the to-do of His good pleasure. If this has spoken to you today, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Understand God is working in you. It is the way He has set this thing up. You cannot perfect unless you have some wilderness experiences. But my word to you today is don't stay there. Give Him the word of God. It is written. And get on out of there. Go on back across the Jordan and minister to somebody. Amen. Now He's coming back again. You may have to go back out into another wilderness experience. In fact, you will. But it's the principle of the thing you got to see. Lord, we thank You for Your word tonight.
Yes.
This morning. All the time. Lord, continue the revelation of the word and the spirit to us. Let us understand these things and build our lives upon these things and understand by the spirit of revelation, that things that are happening in our lives are for a purpose. It's for a purpose. That we can be conformed into the image of Your Son, Your first Son. Amen. We love You, Lord. We praise You. Lord, go home with every person. I know that You will. That's a foolish thing to say. Christ in you. You're in us, Lord. But Lord, bless their homes. I pray for their homes. I feel right now, Lord, there's conflicts in this body of Christ between man and wife right now. Lord, I speak to that spirit. Get Your hand off of that house. Get Your hand off of that house. Holy Ghost, minister to it. Hallelujah. 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 For the Lord should say, open your ears and hear the word of the Lord and allow it to burn away from you the hot coal as the hot coal burned away from the lips of Isaiah. All the negative things. Let the word burn away from you all those negative things. And yea, I say unto you that if you will allow this to happen, then your home shall be what it shall be. For you will receive the revelation that except the Lord builds the house, they that build it labor in vain. Allow the word of the Lord to
to be the rock of your life and build upon it. Take principles after principles and line upon lines and precepts upon precepts and here a little and there a little and add it to it and make your life what it should be. First, individually, blame not your wife nor your husband nor your children. Build your life first and let them pattern their life from yours. The Lord desires to minister to you today. Hallelujah. But He wants to do it in a special way. You that I have just spoken to in the Spirit, and you know your home is what not what it needs to be, the Lord wants you to go home today, get in your prayer closet, get alone with Him, and allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to speak to you and minister to you. You know who you are. You know. And the Lord has a word for you. And if you'll allow that word to come to you and minister by it to you, and then you build your house upon that word, you'll see a change. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for allowing us, Lord.